This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. Claire, you know what was really hard to find this week?
What was that? Tell me, Kate.
Whether our gender pay gap was closing or not.
Yeah, it did get a bit lost in the noise, but you'll be pleased to know, Kate, it's still a bit complicated.
Oh, you were just going to give me an easy answer. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
And this is News Club, the place to go for conversations about the news. Claire, start us off this episode's perspectives on the gender pay gap. Give us the context.
So last Tuesday, we knew that this was coming. It was the day that the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, which from here on in we will refer to as WGEA, it was to publish the data that it collects from all private sector companies in Australia that employ more than 100 people. And what it does is look at the differences of what men and women are paid in their organisation.
Yeah, our listeners are engaged news consumers. I reckon that you might have heard the clarification over and over again this week. If you listen to Weekly Wrap, we certainly covered it, Claire. It's not about what men and women are paid for doing the same job.
No, it's not. What this is to you take a company, they get the data from more than 5,000 companies. You put men working in those companies in one bucket and women in another, and you work out the average each group is being paid. And the difference is the gender pay gap, which is usually in favour of the guys.
Usually, yeah.
Companies have been giving WGEA this sort of data for more than a decade, but it's the first time that individual company numbers have been made public.
Yeah, so that happened on Tuesday, as you said, cut to midday on Wednesday, and there were scores of headlines with varying takes on the data, everything from the gender pay report is just nonsense, family choices explain part of the gender pay gap, says bosses, a whole heap of others, lots and lots from the private sector on how they're responding, how they're managing this, whether they performed well or didn't. It's a big conversation, both economically and socially, which makes it a perfect one for News Club.
Perfect one for News Club because there's an enormous amount of news coverage on it. And as we said, we like to dig into it and get some understanding across a range of perspectives.
It's also International Women's Day on Friday, so no doubt lots more to come across the week. Let's get into our club picks. Claire, our club picks range from the raw data to two very staunch opinions on that data. Before we get into it, though, we've had a few people writing to ask questions about why some of our club picks are from publishers that have a paywall. There's a few good reasons for that.
There are. And first of all, we're interested in the best journalism, and often that's from publishers that require a subscription to access their content. So we've taken the view that for News Club, we just can't omit articles or good things to watch or look at that is behind a paywall.
Yeah, it's a very fair question, but we hope that's a legitimate reason for you to continue with us because a lot of media outlets are moving towards reader revenue paywalls, and if we didn't provide the paywalled stuff, we'd be missing so much stuff. That's the long story. Of course, we could do a news club on how media works as a business, Claire.
And I reckon that should be our next news club, maybe.
Okay.
We'll see where the news does break. But certainly it's a big issue at the moment about how news businesses actually make themselves sustainable. For our purposes today, whether you pay for the news or whether you don't, in our news club podcast, we will take you through it so that you'll have a really good understanding of these different views.
You don't have to have read stuff before you come to this podcast. But of course, we will give you that suggestion via our News Club newsletter every week if you want to. It's all up on our Instagram account. Reading widely is encouraged here at News Club, and we're aiming to provide an easy way to do that. All right, Claire, the first club pick this week is free. There you go. It's the Workplace Gender Equality Agency's Instagram account.
And it's really great to see these government agencies that deal with data make these efforts to cut it down and make it accessible on social media. Mm. And this first pick is a good scroll through WGEA's top line numbers, what it reported last week. And Kate, are you ready for it?
Sure.
Okay.
What am I ready for?
The median pay gap is 19%.
19%. That's... There's a lot of different numbers floating around, but based on what they told us last week, the median gender pay gap is 19%. 50%
of those companies that reported have a gender pay gap less than 9.1%. And of those over 9.1%, they are some of our biggest companies. So they have pay gaps much bigger than that.
Yeah, and that's really important to note because it's often those bigger companies where the big bucks are, where the big opportunities are, and where, of course, just from the sheer numbers, a high volume of workers work there. So exactly. It's very relevant.
Yeah, we'll leave that club pick there, but it is a handy one. It brings us to our second club pick, which is again straight to the source. Katie Gallagher is the Minister for Women. Wajir Agency is under her, is it under her remit?
Yeah.
Wajir is under her remit. She stood up with Mary Wooldridge last week to announce these numbers. Mary Wooldridge is the CEO of Wajir. Top line message from her was that this government wants to see the gender pay gap reduced. In her words, and this is the quote, what they want to see is an improvement in the employee experience so that everyone at work can be equally and fairly valued and rewarded. It's very political language. It's politician's language, but it's good to know just where our government is coming from on this.
Yeah, and it does kind of point to things that we'll talk to in a minute. It's fairly complicated how you do actually see movement in this number.
We were laughing that the minister actually said, any details about the numbers, ask Mary.
Ask Mary. Mary can deal with that. And of course, look, in these press conferences, the minister takes questions from journalists. How do you do it? How do you close the gap? And the question that we were interested in is one about quotas.
Yeah, we've zeroed in on this point in the press conference. It's the solutions that are often debated when it comes to data like this. She pointed out that the Labor Party has quotas as part of their pre-selection process and that that's been successful. I think they have over 50% members are now women in the Labor Party. So for them, she's saying that's a success. Her language was careful for private companies though.
Yeah, exactly right. What she wasn't doing was suggesting the imposition of quotas on private companies. It is quite a political concept, that one. What she wants, though, through this publishing of data is encouraging sort of goals and targets for companies to reach when it comes to including women.
That's right. Mary Wooldridge, though, jumped in at this question and she said, quotas are one thing, but we actually have to have a pipeline of women. Her quote was, it's not a successful outcome if companies are just poaching senior women from each other without growing the pool.
And this then goes into this sort of structural conversation, this idea about there being structural barriers. And Kate, it brings us to our third club pick.
Our third pick was a piece in the SMH and also The Age, I think, by Jacqueline Maley. The central question she's posed is the pay gap entirely structural? Is it fair to expect companies to fix gender stereotyping in society at large? Big questions.
Really big questions. And look, she neatly summarises that the drivers of the gender pay gap are represented by the Wajir boss, Mary Wooldridge. She surmised that 25% of that gender pay gap is down to what they call industry segregation. So there are, for example, more women working in the aged care sector, which is lower paid, and you've got more blokes working in the mining sector, which is much better paid. And then a third of it is down to women taking the lead in their families, caring responsibilities, particularly when it comes to small children. The rest, she says, is down to discrimination issues.
Yeah, that's pretty confounding because there are laws against that sort of thing. Women have to be paid the same as men for the same duties. But this gets to the nitty-gritty of it. Issues of women who need flexibility being passed over for promotion, not getting the big jobs because they're working part-time, is one of what Jacqueline Maley says is one of the drivers of this gender pay gap. In some cases, corporate culture that just straight out favours men as well.
So I went down this rabbit hole and listened to a podcast from Freakonomics. They had an episode on this with Claudia Golden, who's a Harvard professor. Last year, she won the Nobel Prize for Economics for her work in uncovering these drivers of gender pay gaps.
I think Jacqueline Maley may have done the same thing because she refers to her a lot in this article.
There you go.
Do you can't sound surprised about that?
No, I read it. I just didn't clock that. So there you go. I've just confounded both of them, put them both together.
I think you and Jacqueline are on the same page, Claire.
There you go. And even Golden was saying that it's very hard to quantify discrimination, but she pointed out that men and women, when they start work, they're basically level pegged. Then when they get into their careers, women as a group tend to fall away because of their need for flexible work.
And I mean, you use that word need. Is it need or desire? And this is part of the complicated conversation. You were telling me that she says that for women who stay in the workforce full time and go hard at their careers, they're keeping up with the blokes.
Yeah. So that sort of points to this sort of thing about discrimination. Is it that big companies at the top don't like women? What Golden is suggesting is that that might not actually be the thing if women do go as hard as the blokes. What she points to is this sort of lack of understanding of working in these non-traditional ways, so not necessarily an anti-female agenda at play.
The non-traditional ways is the move towards flexible work would be a non-traditional way.
Absolutely.
So maybe COVID has helped us get a little way along this, and there was some commentary around this week that suggests that. As I said, Maley also draws on Golden's research. She makes the point, though, that even though it's less stark, salary does begin to diverge along gender lines at the graduate level before most women have had babies.
Yeah, exactly right. So there's lots of questions then about, you know, do you go into these pledges of diversity and what do they actually mean and do they follow through? Are they just marketing campaigns and things that they have to actually tick boxes on when it comes to their annual reporting?
But it was the only thing I've read across the weekend that pointed a bit to that, that a lot of companies are saying they're doing things, but this data actually makes it very clear whether they are or not.
Well, a lot of companies are saying these things and a lot of companies are doing things, but whether it's actually having a tangible kind of result on the outcome is yet to be seen.
There was a report in the AFR last week that did focus on the positive stories of the brands and the companies that are doing really well and how they're doing it. Super Retail Group is one of those. So they have, are they BCF?
Yep.
BCF.
BCFing fun.
We love that. BCF, we love you. I've been wanting them as an advertiser for a while.
That'd
if anyone's listening from BCF, I really like you guys. Also, they talked about how they've addressed this in their company because their gender pay gap is in favour of women. What they say they've done is addressed unconscious bias and they have strong, flexible work policies.
Yeah, that seems to tick a couple of really big boxes. Also, we've got Wesfarmers. They're own a couple of big retail brands as well, Target, Kmart, Endeavour Group, which is the old Woolworths liquor brand, Collins Foods. It operates a lot of KFC restaurants. They're some of the 16 listed companies in the top 200 listed companies in Australia that have a median pay gap of less than 5% in favour of either men or women, and they're the sorts of policies that they're pursuing.
So that's in the range that Wajir considers really good. Those are successful companies, which contributes to Maley's argument that a society without a gender pay gap could be a stronger one, a better one for women, especially single women, and that currently we, women, are underutilized as an economic measurement. Her words, if we don't address this gap, we'll neglect a talent pool which, if fully unleashed, will lift national wealth and productivity.
Which all sounds very fair, but let's enter Janet Albrechtsen, and perhaps a more emotional conversation about motherhood and work.
Yeah, this is our fourth club pick. We included
We've got four this week, by the way.
It's a lot.
We snuck this one in. Three, but
it's true, actually. I think it's important to include it. We both agreed it was because it's a personal story, and I think for a lot of people, this is very personal and specific to their circumstance, and Albrechtsen really does apply that to this piece.
And Kate, you told me that this article really hit some notes for you and your friends who are going through this very conversation at the moment, juggling work and little people.
It definitely did. Just to unpack what she said, for her, it was a deeply personal decision to upend her blossoming legal career to have her first child. When she got there, that's what she wanted to do, to be around for her kids. She took tasks to senior female leaders who over the last week have said that women are being forced to make this false choice by taking on lower paid work in order to care for her children.
So her point about that is that plenty of women are choosing to take lower paid jobs to have that flexibility to care for their children. They don't want to be climbing the greasy pole of promotions and doing heaps and heaps of hours.
And you can kind of hear the retort, it's not about greasy poles, it's about fairness, it's about choice. And to be fair to Albrechtsen, she did acknowledge that for many women, work isn't a choice. They need to work, and this was just her experience. But her column really took aim at Diane Smith-Gander in particular, Claire. She's a very prominent senior businesswoman. Comments she claims were made by her that women were being forced to make, as you say, a false choice by taking on lower paid work. Albrechtsen's response to this, for her, for someone who decided against career and rather to stay at home with her kids, that there was nothing false about these choices, nothing coerced or unpleasant.
And she speaks also about her view that quite often in the caring role, the role of the mother is positioned as a burden rather than something to be enjoyed and encouraged and celebrated.
And whether that's the intention or not, there can be a slant to the conversation that can ignore this emotional element. Albrechtson writes, and we'll finish on this, for some, the deep primordial tug from a newborn child devises ideology and ambition. It can't be measured in dollars, but the culture of I work, therefore I exist, denies the falling in love with baby so central to most women's experience. If we've piqued your interest, Claire, all of our club picks are on our Instagram account at The Squiz News Club, and you can sign up to the News Club newsletter also if you aren't already.
Two really good things to do.
Really good things to do. Let's get into what Squiz has thought. Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzers how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP. And if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. Lots of engagement from Squizzers on this one. I think within 30 minutes of the newsletter going out, we had over 800 people take part in our poll. Talk us through what we wanted to find out.
So the question was, do you think the gender pay gap is primarily the result of, one, high numbers of women working in lower paid sectors like aged care, two, women's caring responsibilities for children, and three, discrimination that favours men in the workplace? And Kate, as the numbers stand, the number one reason from Squizzers is option number two, so women's caring responsibilities.
Yeah, 41% said that, followed by option three, which was discrimination that favours men. That was at 37%, so quite close. And then the high number of women in low paying sectors was only at 22%. A lot of comments as well.
Yeah, like hundreds of them. So really fascinating to read. And look, let's just start with what they had to say about working in the tech sector.
This is pulling out a very specific example, but someone who works in the tech sector said, as a woman who works in tech, I hear every day from my friends that it sounds so hard to do my job and you have to be smart to do it. She says, the reality is all jobs are hard in their own way, but for some reason, women have been told that tech or engineering jobs are too hard and it's not worth pursuing. We pulled this one out because a lot of businesses who have a wide gap have actually pointed in the last week to the fact that they can't get women into STEM.
Engineering jobs, mining jobs, really big companies that have great career paths for people that can really start at the bottom and work their way through to the top. So it was a really interesting one. And one, I think, too, when it comes to reflecting about companies, I love the irreverence of Squizzers when it comes to exactly how much our executives are paid.
I know, this was another theme, wasn't it? There was quite a few people that said that the question should actually be, are we paying our senior executives, who are mostly men, too much?
Yeah, this gap has come about because there's all of these male executives getting paid way too much money. I like this quote. What about lowering highly paid wages with a view of raising the incomes of the lowly paid, the multi-million dollar payouts of even failed top executives are an insult to normal human beings?
Yeah, there was a lot along that line. There was quite a few around the fact that men don't take up childcare responsibilities and what we do about that, less than I expected, I must say.
Yeah, very true. And it did come through in the commentary, but less than I expected about the cost of childcare being really one of those drivers and a big influencing factor when it comes to the decisions that families and women make.
I think you might have heard a little bit from me about the cost of childcare. I've infiltrated
your
points of view. A lot of people said all of the above. And then there are a couple of really great observations about how we structure society. So I'll read this one out to you. It is historical. Australia is still structured with the assumption that there is an unemployed family member to look after children. Look at the cost of childcare. There you go, Claire. Yep. You're bang on. Look at the structure of primary schools, the lack of compatibility of working people's holidays and children's school holidays, that 9-to-3 thing.
Yeah, and look, this is the way it's worked in the past. That reticence maybe to take up really flexible arrangements is a real challenge. It's a really interesting part of exactly how our lives run.
Some people also felt sorry for businesses,
yeah,
saying that they shouldn't have to fix this all on their own.
Yeah, and the perception, I like this quote, the perception that the problem is caused by boys' clubs and discrimination is unfair to many businesses, that they are taking steps to try and make it better because they do need talent.
All in all, really, really thoughtful. We love hearing from you on these topics. We really never know where they're going to go. We never know what squizzes are going to think about things. And it's just fascinating reading through your comments and your experiences. So thank you for anyone who took the time to do that. Claire, final thoughts.
A new angle that sort of opened up for me in reading a lot about this and thinking about it is this point about coming to grips with non-traditional ways of working and discrimination and exactly how that all sort of plays together. Offering workers and particularly women with children more flexibility and just being fine with workers being out of the office and not doing bazillion hours that they can actually do hours outside of the 9-to-5. And maybe in the wake of COVID, that's something that will change.
That is very true. And it's certainly the way we work here. But then the discussion quickly goes to, well, there's a lot of women that work in jobs where they can't work from home. And I think we found another News Club episode.
Yeah, look, you have been banging on for ages about let's look at working from home,
yeah,
and these arrangements, because it feels like a big societal change.
We saw the public service last week vote in favour of very flexible work hours. So it definitely plays into this debate. For me, I always like to go to the end goal. Like, what are we trying to achieve here? And I actually grapple with what that is. Like, what are we trying to achieve here? And I think a lot of people, when they're in the writing of this, everyone has best intentions, but what are we trying to be as a nation? What are we trying to be as a society? And a lot of it comes down to just being able to choose. So maybe that's the answer, whatever that is.
And look, this is something you and I reckon have been talking about for years, actually, not just in recent times, about we don't all fit in these neat boxes necessarily. Yeah. And there's feels like a lot of emotion and judgment in a lot of this sort of conversation. But ultimately, the best thing in life, I think, is just having choice about being able to do what you want to do.
That is exactly right. Claire, you're so wise. That's it for News Club this week. Thank you for joining us as always. We will be back, sounds like, next week with possibly an episode on news.
I reckon.
The news ecosystem.
Yeah, Meta.
Meta pulling out of news, all of that.
Money, money, money.
There's a work from home episode coming. And if you have any suggestions on News Club episodes you'd like us to create and curate for you, we are all ears. hello@thesqueeze.com.au. Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista. Tell your hairdresser. Whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.